Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 8. Start reading the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we ask Your blessings on this time that we're meeting together here. Help us, strengthen us, encourage us, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there's any soul in here in this room that's lost, that's not saved, Lord, that You would open their eyes. Please, Lord, that You'd have mercy on their soul, that You'd make them to understand their condition before You. And I pray, Lord, that they would call upon You and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What I want to talk about today, I want to talk about freedom, and I want to talk about bondage. When I talk about freedom and bondage, I want to talk about the way men see things and the way God sees things. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. And so there's an incredible difference in perception between what men perceive and what men see and what God perceives and what God sees. Man can look at the very same situation that God's looking at and come to complete and total different conclusions to the matter. And those of us that have been saved for a while and those of us that have walked with the Lord and read His Word understand that the wisest thing to do is, no matter what the difference between how you see things and how God sees things, the very wisest thing to do is to drop your perceptions and take up how God sees things. His conversation right here is interesting. If you look in verse 31, this conversation starts out and it identifies those people that Jesus Christ is talking to. And these are not arrogant unbelievers. The ones that he's talking to here are not necessarily religious people who have completely outright rejected him. He's not talking to people that have not even taken the time to hear his message. In verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to Jews that have already made the decision, hey, this guy has got something to say. How far they've gone in their belief, whether they've actually taken their belief and committed it to Him, we're not sure, but they still have some perception problems. They still have some differences of opinion the way that they look at things. And so I want to follow along in this conversation, and I want to show you some things about what true freedom really is and what bondage really is. It says that he gives them this advice here. And he says, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, when we're dealing with this subject of God and of salvation and of the Bible, we're not dealing with preferences of man. We're not dealing with differences in culture. Basically, what we're dealing with is truth. That's what we're concerned with, and that's what God is concerned with. He's concerned with what is true. It doesn't matter what we say or what we think about things. What matters is what is true. And he says, you shall know the truth. In other words, if you continue to follow Jesus Christ, you are going to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. And anybody that follows Christ, they can say, yes, that's true. Man, I know the truth, and the truth has made me free. You know, it's an amazing thing. Truth is a powerful thing. I don't understand how people can go through life and not believe in truth. You know, this idea of relativity and this idea that there is no truth, you know, I'm telling you, or what is truth? You know, that truth is some vague, nebulous thing out there. No, absolute truth is a tangible thing. They accuse Christianity of all the time of being intangible. You know, there's nothing that we've got that we can hold on to. And that's why men many times in religion wants to add things to the gospel. You know, they want to add things that they can touch and feel so they can kind of get a handle on it. But you know, we don't need any statues to follow truth. We don't need rosary beads to follow truth. We don't need mysticism to follow truth. We don't need all of these sensual trappings in order to bind ourselves to the truth. Truth in and of itself is all that we need. Truth is going to make you free. Men base their lives on lies, on deception. You don't want to tell anybody that they're deceived, because right away they're going to get angry at you. Just like I remember I got angry when somebody told me that I was deceived. You know, but the truth is we are deceived. The power to be deceived, I mean, it's incredulous. So even those of us that are saved and follow the truth, you can be deceived. If it were possible, the Bible says about the Antichrist, that he could deceive even the very elect. You know, it is possible to be deceived. You got to follow truth. You got to be concerned for truth. And so that's what we're concerned with. The reason why we preach the gospel the way that we do is not because that's the way that it feels comfortable to us, or the way that we felt like it's going to be. No, it's because this is what truth is. And so you do well to consider what's truth. But you know, there's a lot of things that block truth. There's a lot of things that will keep truth from having its way in your life. You know, what they did is he said, you know, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. In verse 33, they come up with this objection, and these are Jews that have already begun to believe, and they record this objection right here. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage. You think about that for a minute. You think about what a ridiculous statement it is. And you say, well, you know, obviously these guys were pretty smart and intelligent men. How can you just offhand say that their statement was ridiculous? Well, number one, he's trying to give them deliverance from the power of sin and from the power of the kingdom of darkness. And you know what they're going back to? Well, wait a minute. We be Abraham's seed. As if that really makes any difference. You know, there's actually groups out there that have tried to get a Bible basis in order to support their particular race. I read a paper not too long ago, and it was a detailed Bible study about why the white Caucasian Aryan race is the superior race in the world. And they've gone through and tried to catalog how other races have been cursed, and how, you know, Moses was white, you know. And I can't believe, you know, Moses was an Arab. He wasn't white. You know, he wasn't even from America. But they said because he came down off of that mountain and his face shone, you know, that meant that he was white. And you think I'm lying? I didn't print it out of my computer, but I got in there. I'll show it to you, man. Somebody really actually believes that, and they believe that because of their skin color, somehow that they're better, or somehow they have more authority with God, or somehow they're closer in line to God. I'm telling you something, this idea, and not only just racism in general, you don't find God being a racist. Amen. You know what you find God being? No respecter of persons. You know what you find God doing? God will take an ugly publican that has sinned all of his life and ripped people off, and he'll save him when he cries out to mercy. God will save a Samaritan. God will save an Ethiopian. God will save anybody that will call upon his name. God will save those kings from way back there in the east that came to see him after he was born. God will save any race, any nation, every people. And you say, how do I know that? When you look over in the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that there are people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. So national and racial arrogance is going to keep you from knowing the truth. There are a lot of people that think that the Muslim religion is an Arab religion and the Christian religion is an American religion. I'm sorry, that's not the case at all. And God doesn't look any more favorable on you because you're an American than if you were a Mexican or a Canadian or any other race in the world. It doesn't matter. You need to be saved.
Amen.
I don't care what color of skin you have. You need to be saved.
Right. Amen.
Pride and loyalty and their bondage. And I mean, this loyalty goes so deep too. You know, there are Jews that didn't get saved because they were loyal to that line that they had. Have you heard somebody say, you know, I'm going to keep on believing what my father believed and what my grandfather believed. And I mean, you've heard it. I remember thinking that in my mind. You know, somehow, because of my upbringing, somehow I'm loyal to stay somewhat to my culture and to my line. And I found that when you take Christ, you have to put away your culture. The Bible tells us that we're not redeemed with the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, you got to put it aside. You see, he had to get past their racial loyalty. He had to get past those things in order for them to know the truth. And as long as they were proud of being Abraham's seed, they didn't have much of a chance of really being saved. But they kept on going. They said, we be Abraham's seed. And then they said, and we're never in bondage to any man. Well, you know, those of you who have even a brief, some people who haven't even read the Bible, but they saw the film of Charlton Heston, they know different, you know. They know that they were in bondage. What about the 400 plus years in Egypt that they spent crying out to the Lord in bondage? What about later on when Assyrians came through, when Nebuchadnezzar came through, when Egypt came through and hounded at their heels? And at the very moment that they're speaking, Rome has got their hand of authority over the Jews. We never be in bondage to any man. You know what that shows me? That shows me that men are willing to say anything, however ridiculous, to avoid the truth. They're willing to say anything. Now, I'm going to make a confession here. Since Trini confessed to watching American Idol the other night, and I prayed for him. I prayed for our brother that he would be healed. But late one night, working in my shop with all my chemicals and my strippers and everything, I turned on the radio. And who was on the radio but old George Norrie, you know, of Coast to Coast Radio. Don't listen to him, by the way. But he has all these strange people on there. They all seem to know what they're talking about. And there's this guy, and he's up there, and he's talking about these things on the moon that, you know, the Apollo mission, it really was a fluke. You know, they did it in a studio in Hollywood, and you could tell because of this and that. And no rocket ever went to the moon, and they've got all these things, you know. And he's got all this evidence, and they came back from break, and he says, but here's the real thing. He says, there's a soul catcher up there. And George, soul catcher, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, on the dark side of the moon, there's this big tower, and it's been built by aliens. And when a soul on earth dies, it shoots up into this tower, and it gets recycled and gets sent right back down to earth in another human body. And I mean, this guy was saying all this with a straight face. Men will say anything to avoid the truth. Because you see, if you believe in a soul catcher, you don't have to repent of your sins and be saved. If you believe that somehow aliens came and established the human race and Adam and Eve were spacemen, then you don't have to repent of your sins. Then you don't have to believe that there's a curse on mankind because of their sin. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how far out you go in your beliefs, truth is still truth. And Adam and Eve were real. And they were in the garden because God created the garden and God created them. And when they sinned and rebelled against God, God put a curse on man, and that curse is in existence ever since. It doesn't matter that you believe in karma or that you believe in reincarnation. Something interesting about reincarnation. Have you ever met any elevated souls? Men are wicked, man. They're irritating everywhere you go. They're rude. They're indifferent. They care about nothing but themselves, even the loving ones. Seriously. And if reincarnation is supposed to elevate all these people and you're supposed to get better and better, why don't we meet any of these better people? There is no reincarnation, sorry. No evolution. I'm sorry. They were all disappointed when the DNA of Cro-Magnon man and man didn't match up, you know? They were so excited, they thought them Cro-Magnon skeletons were their daddies, but they weren't. You got to go to all kinds of lengths. You know what would be easier? To simply drop all the pretense, all of this fabrication, and simply admit that what God says is true.
Amen.
All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, what you say is true after all. But see, there's a catch, because if you say that God is true, then you also have to admit that you're subject to what He says. And that's why people don't want to do it. See, men under bondage are unwilling to acknowledge the extent of their sin. Have you ever talked with someone and tried to get them to realize how wicked they really are? I mean, I did the same thing when I was lost. I wasn't as bad as the next guy. Come on, you're making me out to be some kind of monster, and I'm not really a monster. I'm not really who you think I am. I'm not this or this or this. I mean, maybe you've even given the same arguments. But when you begin to look at how God portrays a man, you begin to see how sinful and exceedingly wicked we really are. You see, men look at themselves as good. And you might look at yourself as not a bad person, but God sees you as wicked and undone and lost and condemned. There's a big difference between what God sees and what we see. I remember there was a brother in the church who used to teach his kids that Santa Claus wasn't real, that just a fake and just a wicked invention. And so these kids believed their daddy, and they went into the mall, and sure enough, they saw a Santa Claus. And that little kid walked up to the Santa Claus, and he pointed his finger at that man, and he says, "My daddy says you're a very wicked man." That Santa Claus got up out of his chair and says, "Where's your daddy?" He didn't like to be told he was a wicked man. But oh, you try to talk to some people and try to convince them that what they're doing is bad. Oh, but it's not bad. You see, because if homosexuality were bad, we wouldn't have ministers of the gospel that are homosexuals. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know what we try to do? We try to clothe everything in these nice politically correct terms. And now you can't say anything that's going to offend anybody. You can't tell anybody. I'm telling you, it won't be long. I don't believe it's going to be long before in this country a preacher that preaches against homosexuality is going to be accused of a hate crime. It'll come. Because we don't want to acknowledge that we're bad. We want to see ourselves as good. And you might be sitting there today and thinking, you know, he's really not talking about me because I've got good intentions. I might not have said everything right or done anything right in my life, but really, deep down inside, I'm a good person inside. But you know what God says? God says there is none good. No, not one.
Amen.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. You can even take all the good things you do, and if God were to get a hold of it and shine the light of God's Word, what He's going to find? He's going to find selfishness and self-centeredness and arrogance and pride and all these things in the very best of what you do. You see, Jesus Christ wants to make you free.
Amen.
And you can't be free as long as you deny that you're in bondage. Bob and I, one time before he left for Poland, were out there preaching over at Holmes High School, and this kid walks up to me and he says, "Hey man, you're preaching on your corner and you're going to really get messed up if you stay here. You better leave." And this kid had all black on, you know, black lipstick, all this kind of stuff. And he had this big brass ring. I know he didn't wear it in school. He probably put it on after school. He had this big brass ring, a chain going down here, a chain going across here, crossing in the middle around his waist, and then clamped to a half of a handcuff on each hand. And so he's there, and he's got these chains on, and he's telling me that I need to get off the street because I'm going to get messed up. And I just reached over and I grabbed that brass ring, and I went, and his hands went, and I said, "See, you're in bondage." Oh, it was an illustration. It was great. And Bob got into it too. "Yeah, man, you're in bondage, you know." And we actually got to talk to him for a minute or two because he realized, you think you're free, you think you're tough, and you got yourself all tied up voluntarily. The devil doesn't even have to come and capture some of you. You guys run headlong into sin. You guys seek it out like... I'm telling you something, man. We are in bondage. You see, when you're outside of Christ, you're in chains. You're already condemned to die. You're a cursed man. The Bible says that there's a curse on you, and that curse is going to carry you to the grave, and it's going to damn your soul for eternity. That's the way God sees men. You see, they were quick to defend themselves. We, the Abraham seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. It tells me one thing, you know, when you are in bondage to sin and somebody starts pointing it out, you get very easily irritated and agitated over it. And it's happened over and over again. You find the world wants to preach love and wants to preach tolerance. But when we tell them what to do, they can't tolerate us. And they get irritated real quick. That same incident that I was telling you about on the radio, about this guy and the soul catcher thing. I mean, I never call into radio shows or anything like that, but I wanted to. But somebody called in and said, "Hey man, you know, I'm a Christian.